Welcome to Grow in Grace Podcast, where we want to encourage you to think deeply about God so that you can know Him and love Him better. Join us as we strive to grow in grace together. Welcome to the Grow in Grace Podcast. We are your hosts, Shanna and Kristen, and we have a really rich episode for you today that I am really excited for you guys to hear. But first, hey, Kristen, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How about you?
I'm good. We are taking advantage of the sunshine that we have right now that is not rain. Because in Texas, we have got a lot of rain lately. And so it's so great.
Yeah, we've gotten a ton of rain too, like to the point where Matt has to like overplan when he's going to mow the grass, because you have to get the one window where it didn't rain a whole lot the day before and it's not going to rain that day and just cut it. And so it was real crazy, and he finally was like, I've got to get out there and just mow. So it's been the same here. It's been really hard to catch it.
Yeah, we have what we call Lake Dinsmore when it rains. And Oliver the other day was like, we don't even have to go to a lake. We could just go to our backyard. I was like, yes, that's very funny. Accurate.
As long as you guys don't start stocking it with fish or anything like that, then you're good.
No. No, the birds are loving it though. So
I'm sure.
If you're someone who loves bird watching, my backyard is the place to be.
I do love bird watching. Anyways.
Yeah. Well, before we get into our episode today, we have a little bit of announcement. We are going to be taking the summer off. We really haven't done that since we have started Growing Grace. We haven't really taken any time off. Honestly, during Christmas and all of that, we did our Advent episodes. And then right after the new year, we kind of jumped right back in. And, you know, we talk about in the episode today with our guest, how rest is like a really good thing. And I think, you know, I think it's time for us just to take a little bit off, a little couple months. I have some speaking engagements that I'm going to be doing that I would love to give my full attention to, some family trips. And so what do you have planned? Do you have anything planned this summer?
No, nothing yet. I mean, my family's coming in town next week, so that's the big thing that we're looking forward to right now, I guess. But as we were discussing this and taking some time off, because I think it's always been our intention to eventually take some time off. It was just figuring out when that would work. And we had originally talked about like taking a month off, but then as we were talking about it, we're like, well, that's a month is a lot, but it's also only two episodes because we only put out two episodes a month. And so it felt like a small reprieve, but not a significant amount. And Shanna puts a ton of work into each episode. And so I kind of pitched the idea. I was like, well, what about 2 or 3 months? And so that's
four or six episodes. Right.
Exactly. So today will be our last episode for the summer, and we'll pick back up in September. And during that time, her and I will still be probably recording and things like that, but getting a head start on writing some episodes. But that'll just give us some time to not feel under the gun, being able to do it as time allows, in between travels and family things and just everything that's planned for summer. Everyone's always busy in the summer.
That's right.
Yeah, that's kind of the plan.
Yeah. Just to really reiterate that, we're not going anywhere. We're still here and we'll be back. We just need to maybe have a little breather, have a little rest. And I think that's really good for everyone involved. We actually have a whole nother episode that we recorded prior to this one, and we're going to hold on to it. And we're going to start strong with it in the fall, because this is the perfect episode for us to end with. My dear friend, we interviewed a dear friend of mine, and And it is just so rich. I know I'm actually going to go back and re-listen to it with a notebook so I can take some notes. And so really, this episode I know is going to be so encouraged, or it's going to encourage you so much because I left so encouraged. And it's a longer one than what we usually do, but it is so good, and I'm so excited for everyone to hear it, because I just know that we all have seasons of spiritual drought. That's what this episode's about. And we have shame when it comes to things like that. And man, just like the freedom that we have in Christ. And my friend Kelly does an excellent job of walking us through what that looks like and what we're called into in Christ. So I'm really excited. I will say maybe a really good, like during this month, if you're, because Kristen and I are so lovable. If you're like, I really miss Shanna and Kristen,
I just need their voice in
I
my
just need their
ears.
voice again. I would really encourage you to maybe go back. And it's been a bit since we've done our attributes. And I think that is a really good season. And maybe you're just joining us and you take this time to kind of go back and get caught up, because we did everything very intentionally the way that we have done our episodes. And so that would be our encouragement, my encouragement for you guys. But I'm really excited about this episode. And Kristen, I hope, well, I'm still going to talk to you every day, but
Well, yeah.
I hope this is a little season of rest for you before we dive back in the fall. On today's episode, we are going to talk about the times in our spiritual lives where we feel like we are in a drought. Maybe God's presence feels withdrawn. Maybe we don't find delight in reading and studying His Word. Maybe we don't feel passionate about God and the things of God like we once did. And sometimes we may wonder, why do we experience these seasons of spiritual drought? Is it an indicator of a lack of faith, or is it something that all believers go through at some point on their faith journey? We are going to talk about the various reasons we can experience these really hard seasons and how we can faithfully walk through them. I knew when we decided to do this topic, I wanted someone who would handle this with the care and love that it deserves. And my friend Kelly was one of the first people that came to mind. Her heart is for women, for discipleship, and she is not afraid to enter the trenches with you. And so today we have my friend Kelly Gallion on to talk about these seasons of spiritual drought. So, Kelly, welcome to Grow in Grace.
Yay, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yes. Would you tell us a little bit about yourself, maybe what you do, where you serve?
Sure. I live in the Dallas area, so I go to church with Shanna, and I'm pretty involved there. I serve in VBS and I serve on our women's Bible study leadership team. I coordinate the evening small group leaders, and so I've been doing that for a while now. And it's wonderful for me to get to just love on those ladies and encourage them and their gifting and sort of just release them to use their gifts for the building up of the body. So we've had a really great fruit from that, and I really love it. It's a lot of fun. I am married. I've been married almost 19 years to Jodan, a man with two names. It's the best. And then we have two children. We have a 12-year-old daughter and a 9-year-old son. I have been a stay-at-home mom this whole time, and since my daughter was born, I've been a stay-at-home mom. And I am recently starting to do a little bit of speaking. I've written a book, a little Christian fiction romance book, and so that's going to be coming out in September. And I'm kind of in a new season where I'm growing and I'm using my gifts differently, and it has been wonderful and intimidating and strange. So, just all of it.
Yes. As I think that's like a perfect example of stepping out into kind of like the unknown of like what God calls you into. And like you and I had, Kelly and I had just had brunch recently. I wanted to use that word. I said brunch recently. And we were
Ladies
kind of
can
talking.
brunch.
That's right. We were talking about just like different seasons and Oh, it can be scary and intimidating to use our giftings, but man, like how kind is God to invite us into the work that he's doing?
For
So
sure.
it's really sweet for me to watch you do this, and you're killing it, by the way.
Oh, thanks.
Okay, so one of the things I wanted to talk about, there are many times in our faith journey when we don't really feel passionate about the things of God. And I know specifically for women coming out of fundamentalism, a lot of that can lead to shame. And you are so quick to be like, to see it, name it, and rebuke it. I really wanted you to like really speak into this. I think we all have these seasons where our desire for spiritual things may just feel like we're lacking, or we just feel like God's really far from us. And I think a lot of times we're like, hey, you have these spiritual disciplines. Like, let's do these spiritual disciplines, but they can feel like an uphill battle sometimes, and you just may not have it in you. Like, you don't have joy. There's no delight there. And so when we're talking about spiritual drought, this is kind of what we're talking about. And I think honestly, we've all experienced this for different seasons, and for different reasons. So just for our listeners, spiritual dryness or drought, we'll use it different interchangeably in this episode, can look a lot of different things. And a few of those things could be like just lack of motivation, right? Just kind of apathy. It could be boredom with his word and prayer. Sometimes, like we see this in Psalms a lot, like you just feel like he's not there and he's not listening. And there's sometimes where you're like, I really want to have joy and delight in him, but you just feel joyless. And so I think my first question for you is, why do we experience these seasons? And like, is it an indicator of a lack of faith? I know some people are like, am I even a believer? Or is it something that everyone goes through, right? Is it a symptom of faithlessness, or is it just part of our journey?
Well, I'll be honest, I think it's really normal. I feel like life is really just kind of a series of seasons. And I think that seasons of spiritual drought are just a season, just like seasons of a spiritual high or seasons of the mundane. We are always sort of moving through our life, we're always growing, and the Lord is always with us. But I think that it's sort of too easy to lose an idea of like realistically what does faithfulness look like versus our idea of what we should be doing. You know, that word should, so many people, especially women, seem to love the word should. Oh, I should do this. I should be this. Well, that sounds wonderful sometimes, but it's not always possible because of our season and because of what we're capable of and because of what the Lord has ordained in our life for that time. And so when I think about these different seasons, I think about I'm a gardener. I love gardening. So every year I plant seeds and the seeds go in the ground and then they sprout and the plant grows and eventually the flowers bloom and the fruit comes if it's a fruit type plant. And when the flower or the fruit dies, that is when the seeds are ready for the next season of growth. And so every single part of that plant life matters, even though not all of it is the prettiest. Some of it is buried in dirt and darkness. Some of it is growing and sprouting leaves, and you don't know if a flower is even going to come. And when the flower does come, you don't know if it's going to look the way that you want it to, or if it's going to be kind of scraggly or kind of tired looking, or if it's going to die, if it's going to be eaten. I mean, there's just a lot. Gardening has taught me a lot about the seasons and the beauty of leaning into the season, whatever it is. So as far as seasons of spiritual dryness, I believe that they're for our good, just like seasons of blooming are. I don't necessarily think that we'll always see the why of those seasons on this side of eternity, but I think that when we look back on the faithfulness of God, we can see really clearly that no season is wasted. We are always safe in the hand of the Lord, and He really is always growing us 1 degree at a time into that greater weight of glory. We can trust Him to do that. But I think that we feel like a dryness and we make it about us instead of the fact that we are for God's glory, right? We are for enjoying Him forever. And so I think something that we can kind of miss the boat on with seasons of spiritual dryness is that this too can serve us and lead to life. Just because it doesn't look the way that we think that it should, doesn't mean that it's not moving us forward. Does that make sense? So I think sometimes, seasons of spiritual dryness can be uncomfortable. Like we're aware that we're in it and we don't like it. And even that is productive because we sort of lean into it. Maybe we leap into action. Maybe we start really pursuing something else, or maybe we don't have the energy to do that. Maybe we have to just be gentle with ourselves for a season and trust the grace that saved us to carry us through for a little bit. But I think in order to know whether it's a season of spiritual dryness or if it's something else that's going on, we have to kind of evaluate the situation. Like, is this feeling, is this leading me to pursue God, or is it leading to shame? You know, the Bible says that if we seek God, we will find Him. But sometimes, honestly, I think that these seasons of spiritual drought, we can sort of accidentally do this to ourselves. We get distracted. We get distracted really easily in life. We get distracted by fear. We start to struggle and we run to self-reliance, or at least I do. That's really tough for me. I'm an oldest child. I can perform all day long. And if I need to, if I feel like I'm not reaching my goal, the mark, then I'm just going to push that much harder to make myself excellent, you know? And so I feel like leaning into those seasons of spiritual dryness and letting the Lord work, that is a proof of progress for me because I'm leaving behind my bent towards self-reliance. Does that make sense? So I think it's really easy to fall into idolatry when we're tired or we are bossing ourselves around saying, well, you should do this, you should do that. And I think that that can be really destructive. So I think it leaves us more tired. Like we just stay tired whenever it's like that. Does that make sense? Those seasons. And then shame sets in. And so I think everybody experiences that to a degree. But I also think that there are things that we can put into place to help ourselves just respond in a productive way instead of a tearing down way. So, like for Bible study, we always take the summer off. That is a season of rest for everyone. It's for the teachers, for the volunteers, and for the participants. They have a break. And I think that that is really good. At our church, the children's programming for elementary school, they take the month of July off. That's really good for everybody involved. It's even really good for those families because they're able to worship together as a family for that month. And so I think that when we can include little times of rest, that maybe helps us to just find that rhythm a little bit better. I don't feel like that makes any sense.
You
I'm not
are
sure.
making sense, and you're stepping on my toes a little, so
Oh, well, that wasn't my goal.
yeah, no, I need this, and I love it because I think, especially I think women, we are so quick to put on this like cloak of perfectionism that shame sets in so quickly and can lead to destruction. And when you're trying to just keep overly perform, overly doing all of these things, you are going to get run down, because we were not created to bear the weight of all those things. And so what I mean by stepping on my toes, Kelly, is that I need to be reminded of those seasons of rest and that they are for my good. That's like really encouraging. It's really encouraging.
So if it is a way that we have done it to ourselves, I think it usually happens really slowly. It's not just, oh, this one decision shot me into a season of spiritual dryness. It's repeated distraction. It's repeated exhaustion, repeated lack of time. I mean, it's May right now while we're recording this. It's May. Everybody knows what May is like. You're in the blender, right? I mean, you're not
Pure
even just in the
chaos.
soup. It's total chaos. And everybody is in it. But I think that, we can hold ourselves to some unrealistic standard, or we can meet ourselves where we are and say, this is a season. I've got my eye on June. In June, I'm going to be able to take a breath, you know? So maybe it is a demanding season like May, and we're not able to really fill up the way that we really like to, but we're still pouring out. I mean, even in May, everything that we are doing is toward someone else's good, is it not? It's just this pouring out, and that bears fruit, but we can feel dry spiritually. We can even feel dry in other ways, right? Like our body gets tired, our brain gets tired of keeping the calendar at the forefront of our brain all the time. It gets hard to parent our children well when they're tired too, and we have to all keep pushing. And so we see how this bears on us. And I think that something that we have to do is we have to pause and look at our season and ask ourselves, what is my invitation to stewardship here? Like, what does stewardship look like in this season? And so, even if it is a spiritually dry season, we can still be stewarding this as well as we can. We can still be holding ourselves to a standard. We can still be working to we can still be showing up as who God has called us to be. And I think that that really matters. Like, we can't just throw the baby out with the bathwater and be like, well, I don't feel that today, so I'm just going to go the complete opposite way. I think holding ourselves to a standard is important in all of our seasons. So
Yeah, that's
something
good.
else that I thought about when I was thinking about this question of like why they happen, something that I think a lot of people get confused about, at least where I, we go to this huge church and everybody's had all these different experiences and people tell themselves all kinds of really interesting lies. And I think one of the blessings of growing up in the church or around church people is church camp. In the summertime, I love church camp. We went for a week every summer and it was this huge bucket filler, right? This wonderful thing. Maybe we went on retreats, once a semester with the youth group or whatever. And so we got these big chunks of spiritual water. Right? Like we just filled right up. We felt so full and happy and close to the Lord after this big mountaintop experience that was orchestrated for us by adults who cared for us deeply and understand how the minds of teenagers work. Right? The emotional situation there. So we get this big like hit of spiritual joy. And then we go home, and then we're fine until we come back for the hit of spiritual joy. And I think that as we mature, as we grow older, as we walk with the Lord faithfully, it's not an adult volunteer creating an experience for us anymore. It's our desire to walk with the Lord, right? So we're not seeing him for a week every summer, and it's wonderful. We have the opportunity to walk with him every day. And so it's not this big hit. It's more of this steadiness. Does that make sense? And so I feel like that steadiness is different than how we felt after camp. And I think that if we equate that after camp feeling with faithfulness, that we're telling ourselves something that isn't true. And that can sound really discouraging, like, oh no, you never get to have another mountaintop experience ever again. I don't think that that's necessarily true. I think it just looks different for the mature Christian. And so our steadiness looks different. I mean, Paul really talks about that in 1 Corinthians 3. He talks about the difference between feeding them milk and transitioning them to solid food. That solid food is a lot more satisfying but it may not give us that initial high of an experience of milk. It is going to last longer. It is going to nourish us differently. When we're a baby, we only need the nourishment of milk. But when we are an adult and we're using our body and we're exercising and we're serving and we're pouring out and we're not sleeping all day, like we have responsibilities, we need something that's going to stick to our ribs. Does that make sense? And so that is really important. And that steady faithfulness, it really is building something in our hearts. In 2 Corinthians 3, Paul talks about how we are being transformed into the image of Christ from one degree of glory to the next. And I think that is what we need to fix our eyes on, is that journey of sanctification. Salvation is wonderful. Praise God for it. But it's not the end all be all of our journey. It's wonderful to be saved and fall in love. I love falling in love. But that steady faithfulness across all of the decades of my life of walking with him and being met by him in every single season, that is where the meat is, right? That is what is going to hold me and keep me coming back to him and keep me trying for him for the rest of my life. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
I feel like sometimes people will feel a season of spiritual drought and they will get scared. Maybe they heard only about the wrath of God or only about God's judgment or about being clean or unclean. Like I see that, and I see how people jump to the assumption that God is punishing them. Does that make sense? I've heard that, and I just find that so heartbreaking because
We
it's
lived
not
that, Kelly.
true.
That is the tactic in fundamentalism, is not it's not so much God's grace and mercy and like pursuing you in love. It is this, you step out of line and there's a consequence for your action, you know? Yeah, like
And so
you
it
didn't
is.
go to Sunday night church, and so then you got in a car accident, and you got in a car accident because God is punishing you because you didn't go to Sunday night church. Literally have heard that from the pulpit. Which do we even call them pulpits now? That's what we call them. But it's this idea of, man, living in fear of like, is God punishing me for that? And it's just, yeah.
I think that that is so heartbreaking, and I think that all it takes is a little stroll through the Bible to find freedom from that, but
Imagine
also
that.
that's a learned habit, right? And so
Yeah.
whenever we have had something sort of repeated to us all these times, it's really hard to break free of that. And it's hard to get free and move past it and move forward. And so is God punishing me? No, because the righteousness that is given through faith in Christ is for all who believe. That's Romans 3. He says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. So that punishment, like, of course there's a punishment for our sin, but that punishment has already been doled out to the fullest extent required. Jesus bore that punishment. He bore that on the cross in our place. The cost of our sin was death. And Jesus is the one who died that death. And since God is fully, perfectly just, then we can trust that the punishment was sufficient and appropriate for the crime. The punishment fit the crime. No more and no less is required. So punishment is done. It really is finished. And so when we look at the facts of what Jesus did for us, if we say, like, oh, because I didn't go to church, I need to be punished some more, like that is just weakening the cross of Jesus. I would say that's way more dangerous than not showing up at church one day. The cross is sufficient. The cross was sufficient. And if it wasn't, then he wouldn't have been able to rise from the grave. I mean, like, it's all connected. He really is sufficient. His grace is sufficient because of the fact of where it came from. That blood was shed. We are covered by that, and nothing can take that away from us. I also just want to point out like those seasons, these seasons of spiritual dryness. I think that something that we can feel like is like, oh, if I'm not being productive, then God's not using me, God's not meeting me, I'm not good. And the truth is that nothing is wasted. Nothing is wasted. If all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord, nothing is wasted. If he really did begin that good work and he really is going to bring it to completion, nothing is wasted. He really is using all the things. He really is working all of that together for your good. He sure is. And the truth is that he can use anything, anyone, and he absolutely will. He literally used murderers. He literally used the most faithless people. He still used people who turned away from him and did their own thing. He used rapists. He used people who had just really failed in every way. He's going to be able to use you.
I think something that our pastor says all the time is like, man, you would probably not want to know who's sitting next to you in this service. You know, like, 'cause we have this idea of like what being a good Christian looks like. And it's to think of like the people in scripture, like, and the Bible's a messy book, right? And like, to see who he used to fulfill his purpose of bringing redemption to the world, is beautiful. Kelly, one thing I would like to, before Kristen, before we go on to our next question, because you are just being so incredibly helpful right now. One thing I would maybe like for you to touch on, and you kind of touched on it a little bit, but we have this idea, I think, again, as women, we shame ourselves. We have this idea of perfection, like I said earlier. And I specifically have been told by people who mean well, and for different areas, different seasons of life, that if you just had more faith. So
Who
it's
said
this
that to
idea.
you?
She's ready to take them on. She's
See me when we stop. See me when we stop recording. But it's happened multiple times. Whether it's been a health issue, you should just have more faith. That's been told to me. And so one thing, Kelly, you just got fired up. I just saw it in you that you have spoken over me personally, is this idea of like freedom, right? I think we are bound by, and I know so many women who are kind of coming out of fundamentalism or legalism, in the church, they feel like they are not free. They are in chains and really weighed down. And so this idea of spiritual, like having these seasons, just may seem like a lack of faith to them, if they just had more faith. I would love for you to maybe speak on that, because I know that you really shutting down that shame in me and reminding me of my freedom in Christ has been really, really helpful. I would love for you to maybe speak on that for a second.
Yeah, I am so sorry that that happened. That is horrible and it's not true. I want to start there. I'm so sorry that you have been through that. I'm sorry for anyone who's been through that. In Galatians 5:1, Paul says, "For freedom, Christ has set us free. So stand firm and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." That's something I have really been meditating on for the last year, just the freedom that we have in Christ and the fact that that freedom is given by him, a free gift. We could never do anything to earn that. All we have is filthy rags, right? Our best day is filthy rags to him, and the gift of freedom and the invitation of freedom is for us as the children of God, as co-heirs with Christ. I love in 1 Peter, whenever I saw this question, the first thing I thought of was 1 Peter 1. He says, this is verse 3 through 5. He says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." This is like the most scared apostle, right? And he is saying this after a life of faithfulness. He's saying this is real. He says, we are, sorry, I lost my place. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into, he's given us new birth into the living hope and into an inheritance that can never perish. It can never spoil. It can never fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. I love that. I love how Peter just treasures that because you know that he knows. He knows what he did.
That's right.
I love Peter. I love him more and more the older I get because I'm just like, oh, if he can do that, the
I
Lord
know, I'm like, I
can do that,
relate.
he
I
can
relate
save
to
me.
Peter.
But I mean, like, I think, you know, is it a symptom of faithfulness? I don't think so, because I think of like a map. I think of topography. If we're thinking about this mountaintop experience that we're supposed to be having, if that is like literally the top of the mountain is the smallest part of the journey, you know, it's great. I love being on top of the mountain. But then you have to go back down the mountain and through the valley and up the next mountain. Like, that's just really reductive thinking. Don't let someone paint you into a corner. Like, that is just silly. Who could sustain that? Who has God given that to? I mean, again, this is Peter. Like, at the most important time, when it was time to show up, when it was time to be the best disciple he could possibly have been, he's cutting people's ears off and denying Jesus at all. Like, this is recorded for our encouragement. The fact that, like, on our worst day, with our deepest regret, the blood of Jesus is sufficient. The Lord is inviting us in. And I think nothing gives me greater joy than that. But I think, like, so many people don't learn that. I learned that at an early age. My youth guy, he was just drunk on grace, I think. And I'm so grateful for that freedom because I think there are so many things along the way where an imprisonment, you know, there's just chains along the way available to us. And I feel like the Lord has really done a protective work in my life with that. That doesn't mean that I don't experience seasons of shame. That doesn't mean that I don't experience regret. But I feel like the freedom of Jesus is real. And I think that if you believe in Jesus, then believing his freedom is a reality for you. That is available to you. I think that like those mountaintops, like I don't want to say the mountaintops are not good because I believe that they are good and they do serve a purpose. But like literally, that's not the only time that you matter to God. That's not the only time that God is with you. He's literally with you in every step of your journey, every moment of your life with him. He is with you. He's with you when you're asleep. He's with you when you are sick as a dog and you have nothing to give him. He is with you when you are doing your best and shining bright using his gifts that he's given you. He is using you when you are beat down and sad. Literally, nothing is wasted. And I love you and I, Shanna, we've talked about this, how we can view Bible study as like how we can go to our Bible and we can take like an ATM, or we can go to our Bible faithfully every day, a little bit at a time, and we can view it as that savings account that we're putting in. We're building up a savings account that is going to be there for us when the storm hits. And I love that. I really believe when Paul says in Philippians 1, he says that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion on the day of Christ Jesus. I really believe that on my worst day, God is still working in me. God is still using my life. God is still glorified by my life because of the grace of Jesus. That promise, like the promise of glory, that is for us. It's ours. Nothing can change it. It's undefiled. It's imperishable. That is our reality, and nothing can take that away from us, whether I am on the highest mountaintop or the deepest valley or the driest desert. The Lord is faithful And he is the one who will achieve it. He says it all over Romans. Since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And so that first blush of faith, like the Lord has made us his. And maybe it doesn't feel the way that we thought it would feel. Maybe it doesn't look the way that we thought that it would look, but we are his. We were dead. We were dead in our transgressions. We were an enemy of God. And at just the right time, Jesus's blood saved us. Like, there's nothing that you can say that makes that untrue. There's nothing that you can do that makes that untrue. You were dead. And he literally brought you to life. And you're still alive, even if it's dry. And so I think, like, that feels like a miracle to me. It really does. There, nothing compares to knowing the love of Christ and believing it, believing that he is with me here, believing that the table is set, even in the presence of my enemies, even in an enemy that doesn't want me to get home. Let's not forget, we have an enemy. He doesn't want us to be like limping when we get to heaven. He wants us to be dead. That's what he wants. And he's going to do everything that he can to make it really, really hard. But the power of Christ, it's done. It's done, baby. He's resurrected. There's nothing that serpent can do to change that.
Y'all, I feel like we're about to have church here. I have chills because it's this idea, man. Like I can, it's encouraged me so much. And like, I can just tell if you could get that into people's bones, you know, it's this, like the freedom you have, it's one thing to know it, to say it, of course I'm free in Christ, but then like to believe it and then walk in it, what a like transformative, deeper relationship with Christ we could have. And it's beautiful and
it's a, so it's a game changer, right? It changes the way you walk your everyday life. If you're, and yeah, like you said, Shanna, it's not only thinking it and believing it and saying, like, when we talk about it, yes, I am free in Christ, but when we live it out and how that affects every single area of our life and how that can, similar to how we've talked about, you know, the gospel of how it affects every area of our life, those kind of go hand in hand, that our freedom in Christ also affects that. And it just, like, it's a game changer for us.
Jesus changes everything.
Exactly.
Well, and I think something that is really, really special there is, like, we're still going to be growing. We're still going to be walking with the Lord, obeying his law. But the heart behind that is what really changes everything. Like, what is our motive? Are we obeying God out of fear of hell? Or are we obeying God out of gratitude and joy because he really is who he says he is? And his way really is the best for our greatest flourishing and joy. Our pastor, Shanna, have you ever heard him say, he used to say it a lot. He would say, heaven is not a place for those who fear hell. It's a place for those who love God. And I love that. I heard Nancy Guthrie say one time, the best thing about the kingdom is going to be the king.
That you get God.
I mean, there's a million things I can't wait for about heaven. But God, being with him is going to eclipse all of that.
That
All
is,
of it is just going to be gravy.
That's one of the things that I like with family discipleship with my children. One of the things I don't want them, and praise the Lord for his kindness and the church that my kids are growing up in. But I remember just being terrified of hell, and I don't want to go there. I don't want that punishment. And so it wasn't this love for Jesus. And so if you ask my kids now, what's the best thing of heaven? Like, what is the best part of heaven? They're going to say, I get God. That is going to be their response to you. And I love that so much because I want them to see him as the language we would use at our church, as most valuable. right?
Yeah.
Like you get God, and it's not out of fear
Oh,
or
yeah.
as he is just like the better option. Like he's the
Yeah.
only option,
God is so
you
much
know?
better than just not going to hell.
Yes.
I
Okay, we can spend a whole episode on this.
was going to say, maybe that's another episode that we bring her back to talk about.
That's right.
Kelly, you had mentioned seasons of rest. Or so, can you help differentiate for us and help us think through about if someone is in a season of spiritual drought? Is it a season of rest, or maybe it's complacency, right? We definitely throughout this conversation want to encourage people to complacency as we, and I think that's sometimes a fear of why people don't talk about rest, like being a good thing, is because they don't want to go to that point of complacency. So can you talk us through about that differentiation?
I was thinking about the word complacency, and I used to teach elementary school, so I just want to talk about that word for a second because it's kind of a bigger word. So what does it mean? I looked this up on the Webster Dictionary. Complacency means self-satisfaction. Isn't that like that word just kind of gives me chills? Self-satisfaction, especially when accompanied by unawareness of actual dangers or deficiencies. And I mean, I feel like complacency, like really complacency just sort of kills, right? It's kind of like apathy. It just kind of deadens us. Because like if I'm in a season of complacency, I'm basically just kind of in stasis. Like, I'm not asking questions. I'm not interested in changing or growing or responding to the world around me. Like, I don't care because I am satisfied. That's really scary. And the fact that complacency also includes like an unawareness of the danger of what's going on around you. Like, to me, that is just really scary. Like, I don't want to be in a season of complacency, but I have been. And I feel like there is a way out of that. We can keep showing up. We can keep learning. I feel like those discipleship habits are when complacency really has a hard time keeping a foothold in our life. If I'm seeking the Lord, if I'm reading his word, if I'm part of Bible study, if I'm going to church, if I'm praying, even a little bit, even like just that disciplined type of showing up. I think that that is really, really helpful because we never know what is coming in our life, right? We're going to need every bit of our strong foundation when the storm comes. And I think even in seasons of complacency, like even just doing what we know is right, because we know that it's right. I think that can still be used and still be bearing. But I think we need to practice self-awareness of that. I think about the parable in Matthew 7 about the house. The wise man built his house on the rock and the foolish man built his house on the sand. And I mean, in the verses, the rain came, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house. So that is listed, that is talked about for both houses. So basically, these two houses are identical. The only thing that is different is the foundation. And the only thing that reveals the difference is the storm. And I think that that is something that we can really learn from. We can ask ourselves, what do I want in my life? What is my motive? Do I want to walk with the Lord and be close with Him and love Him with my all, my heart, soul, mind, and strength? Or do I just not care? And so, like, what am I building my foundation on? Even if I feel complacent, even if I'm tired, even if I feel like God is far away, what am I building on? Like, what do I really believe? That's a time to ask that question, I think. And I think about, we had this. It was a tragedy. It was a few years ago. These people, there's this area in Texas. It's a big river. It's called Wimberley, and they had flooding there. And all these people were killed. Like, river houses were like knocked down and people were killed. And this man, Jonathan McComb, he survived. The house that they were in was swept away. His whole family passed away. He was swept like 12 miles down the river, and he survived. And in the press conference, his dad was talking, and he said, "I don't know how people do this without the Lord." He said, "I think that what saved his life is his extreme fitness. He's a fitness nut. He does CrossFit. He's really strong." So when the storm came and the house swept away, he was ready to fight to live. He had been building his muscles. He had been filling his body with good nutrition. He had been doing everything that he could to make sure that when the storm hit, he was ready and strong. And I think that that is kind of the difference, is like, what are we doing with those mountaintops? What are we doing with those times when we're on the mountain and we're doing great? You know, like those times are working to strengthen us for these times of deep valleys. Those times are working to strengthen us through seasons of complacency. Like we can use those times to just build up as much as we can, and we should. And not just the mountaintop times, but like the mundane times, the times when we're somewhere on the mountain, you know, like we can use all of that, just like God uses it. He gives us everything that we need in order to be faithful to Him. And so I think, like, in seasons of complacency, we really are, we're really feeding on God's past faithfulness. We are really feeding on all of the ways that the Lord has shaped us and held us and kept us. And then He keeps us through those seasons too. But I think there's a difference between like complacency, like I'm satisfied and I don't care, and a season of doubt. Does that make sense? So I would say that, like, whereas complacency is kind of a lackadaisical whatever, I would say that doubt is interesting because doubt is really motivating, at least for me. I feel like those seasons of doubt are really active for me because I care. Like if I'm having doubts, I get curious real quick. And so I start looking, I start studying, I start asking questions and seeking answers. And I mean, seasons of doubt can last long. They can take us under. They can be really strong and powerful. Excuse me. And I might feel like lower and weaker than what I would expect, but even that is still scary. Like that's not a complacent response. That's like a motivated response. Like I want out of this. I'm fighting for the truth. I'm fighting to land in what is real. Like what is the truest truth? But I don't love the feeling of doubt. Again, oldest child, I want to be sure. And so I'll put that work in. I'll study and I'll pray and I'll talk to people and I'll ask questions and I will work to get out of that feeling. So I think that that's kind of the difference, is like complacency is, I mean, working to get out of that feeling, we can do that too. But I think that like the motivation is going to be different because complacency is a little sneaky. It's a little numb, you know, it can almost feel like a little comfortable. Whereas like seasons of doubt, I'm not comfortable. I'm working to move through this and get out of this weirdness to something that feels strong. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I think we did an episode, oh my goodness, I don't remember, last season, this season. Sometimes it blends together on deconstruction, because that's such a huge thing within the fundamentalist movement right now. And honestly, it's one of the, it's our heart behind this podcast is to call women and like, hey, Jesus is better. If I could sum it all up, it's Jesus is better, and he's worth leaning into this doubt, leaning into, okay, if everything that I've been taught is not true, like, let me look to God's word and see what is truth. And so I love your how you kind of tease that out, because it's an active faith, you know, even in those se like seasons of doubt. And so on the back end of that question, one thing I would love maybe for you to kind of address is, especially as women, we don't rest well. I know I don't rest well. It's not that, it's not this self-sufficiency thing, guys. I feel like when I'm resting that I'm not being profitable, you know? I can't be the only one. So, would you talk about that a little bit?
So I've really had to learn that distinction, especially in this last year where I've been in this season of transition. It has been very difficult because of that, because of my idolatry of productivity and my desire to feel that I am worthy because of what I'm producing. That is something that the Lord has helped me to see. He has put it to death over and over again, and he will continue to. But it is not easy to be there. And so I really had to learn the distinction because the Lord invites us into rest. This is an invitation and it's an opportunity. It's not a loss. So whenever I'm in a season of rest, I mean, it could just be a Sabbath. I feel like a Sabbath, though, is a decision. Like when I'm Sabbath resting, I'm choosing to obey God for this purpose. And so to me, a Sabbath feels different than a season of rest. Does that make sense? I do want to make that distinction. But if I am in a season of rest, like right now I'm in a season of rest, and I was talking to my mom about it, and she knows, my mama knows my idolatry and my heart. And she was kind of aggressive with me. She said, if you see that the Lord has you in a season of rest, you need to lean into it. And I just thought, like, what a sweet gift, what a freedom for the Lord to give me my mom, who I know is for me, who loves me the most, she wants good things for me. And she has just reiterated what the Lord was saying with my calendar. This is the season because I can see what's coming. In the summer, my kids are going to be home from school. That's a wild time. My kids do public school, so I'm not used to them being in the house all the time, and they're not used to being together all the time. So, we're going to have our season of transition. We're going to get there, but it's going to take a couple of weeks. It's going to take just a lot more energy for me in the summertime to pour out and to meet them where they are and to love them well and to give all of us a fun summer. And so I know that, like, I can see what is coming. I'm getting ready in July. I'm going to hit the emails really hard so I can start. I can, fill up my calendar to be speaking in the fall. Like I said, I wrote a book and I'm going to be releasing it in September. So I can see the work coming. And that is a gift because we don't always get that. But in this season of rest, I could fill it up. I could fill every minute in the calendar. I could fill it with expectations for myself. I could try to lose 38 pounds before June, all of these things. But like what came before this? I've been pouring out. I've been pouring out a lot. This is a gift. This is an invitation into an opportunity that is going to be really good for me and lead to something better. And I love that. But we have to steward it. We have to practice that stewardship too. And so, if I've been pouring out a lot, like I might need to be resting, like serving. I mean, Bible study just ended a little bit ago. After pouring out for the whole semester, now is our season of rest. I have been doing a lot of learning, a lot of growing as a person. Seasons of suffering, when the suffering is done, learning to rest, learning to steward my body when it's not at DEFCON 5 emergency. There's a lot of reasons that rest is a gift. I would say also rest is very preparatory for the next season, like not in like a dreading way, but in a building up and refreshing and like a staying loose way. I got to keep those muscles limber. I've got to be studying and reading still. But honestly, like right now, I'm not like studying hard and building and writing lessons. I am really enjoying my time in the Word. I'm reading my favorite passages. We studied Paul's letters, some of them, this year for Bible study. So I'm reading the ones that we didn't study. And just hearing his voice now that I know him better, it's so neat to just interact with Paul in these fun books. So I really feel like I'm just kind of cuddling up with the Lord and just like just snuggling in with him right now in this season of rest. And that is such a gift. It's not this huge mountaintop experience. It's not something deep in the valley. It's just kind of in the middle, but it's there and it's for me and it's sweet and it is comforting to me, you know? And if you're given a time of rest, I think take it and enjoy it and lean into that purpose because rest, like real rest, resting in the Lord, fills us up a lot more than we think that it will. Always like taking the time to go to that women's conference and just kind of soak up the word and the encouragement and the worship with those women. That serves me so well and it fills me up so much better than leaving my family for a couple of hours to go get a coffee and a massage. You know, like this is not self-care. This rest is a time to fill up on goodness. It's an invitation and we have to steward it. You know, we have to make sure that we're not filling up the calendar with things. If I have openings on my calendar, I don't have to fill every minute to be worthy of taking up space.
That's my
You know,
tendency.
that's a lesson that the Lord has taught me. If every minute on that calendar isn't full, then are you even valuable? Yeah, I am. Take that, serpent.
Get it, sister. That is literally my default. And I'm thankful. Kristen doesn't have this issue. And so she's such a gift to me. She's like, okay, Shanna, but should you? I'm like, but why not? Like, I have this time available. She's like, okay, but should you?
Where is the should that leads me toward rest? That's the kind of should I really like to hear.
Yeah,
But it's not a place of obligation.
that's right.
Sorry, what were you going to say?
What I'm hearing, sorry, is that I want to circle back around to this in a little bit. This word, it's like my word of the year, which I never do, but it's sweet and I'm excited for it. Is right now, Kelly, like you're just abiding, right? Which is so stinking sweet. And I love it. And it's like my favorite thing to talk about right now. I think it's just what the Lord has literally shown me as he's kind of torn down these performance, like idolatry tendencies that I have, you know, is that,
So
hey,
can I like look at my calendar and judge myself? Or can I look at my calendar and be curious? Like, what does the Lord have for me in this? Because the Lord is in charge of my calendar too. I just don't always realize it.
That's
You know,
right.
I don't always remember that.
That's right. I think I want to end this with, well, I think I'm going to go back and like take some notes and like listen, because you, sister, have been just so incredibly helpful. I want to maybe end this with like, could you talk about some practical steps that could help people walk faithfully? You know, we have said that there is no condemnation for those in Christ. And so don't carry that on yourself in these seasons, but some maybe practical steps that they're like, I am really struggling right now. The Lord seems distant and quiet. I'm not joyful and I'm not getting joy from the word like I should. Maybe some practical steps.
I would invite you to start with compassion for yourself. I really believe that God meets us where we are, not where we believe He wants us to be. You know, He doesn't love some future version of you. He loves you right now as you are. And so I think when we can remember that, we can be compassionate toward ourselves. We can be soft with ourselves and not, you know, trying to drive towards something important, we can meet ourselves where we are. And I think about this. This is like, when I have conversations with women and they beat themselves up, I always try to turn it on its head and say, well, what would you say if it was me? What if I came to you and I said, I'm struggling and I'm tired? Like, would you say, oh, you should just step it up? You should just be better. You should just be more faithful. They're like, no, I would never talk to you that way. Exactly. Speak to yourself as if you are your friend.
Yeah, that's
Be a
good.
friend to yourself. You would never, if a friend came to you so vulnerable and said, I'm really struggling, I'm in a dry season and I just can't find the Lord, would you just reject her and say, well, I never loved you? No, you would never treat your friend that way. And you shouldn't treat yourself that way. We should meet ourselves with compassion. And I think that is showing up for ourselves. Does that make sense? showing up for ourselves and saying, I am capable of keeping going here by the grace of God. I think about the prodigal son, how he was welcomed home by this father who just ran to him and welcomed him wholeheartedly and forgave him. And his brother never left, but he was also welcomed wholeheartedly by his father. Like, all of this is an invitation. So I would say something that I think is maybe the first to go when people get in seasons of spiritual dryness is going to church. And I would just say that to keep going to church is a decision, but it is, I think, a really sweet decision that we can get. It's just a gift that we can give ourselves. Going and seeing our community there, hearing the word, taking communion, reminding ourselves of where we are in the scheme of things. God knows where I am. You know, I think that just going to church helps a lot. And if church is not a safe place for you, I think that there are other probably places to find that, like in a Bible study or a group of friends that you meet with for accountability and discipleship. But, this is not the time to stop going to church. Like, if you're going to do one discipline, going to church, I think, is a really encouraging one, personally. But I also go to a church that is an encouraging church. Also, something that this is kind of silly, but I think that these seasons happen a lot when our kids are small and we're just pouring out, pouring out, pouring out, and every day is like Groundhog Day. It feels like, oh, every day is the same. And every day I'm still tired. And tomorrow I'm planning to be tired, you know?
I'm already tired thinking about tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. And so I have experienced those seasons, and one of the sweetest encouragements I've ever had from the Lord is how He has met me in our family discipleship time, reading those little storybook Bibles, the little Bible stories. Like, the Lord has met me there so many times. Even now, with my kids older, whenever we'll read like a devotional book. We've just been reading Jackie Hill Perry's Upon Waking.
So good.
And I mean, like, there are times I'm reading it and I will just be weeping because the Lord is just settling in with me in this moment of total chaos, obviously. Like, the chaos of bedtime does not go away. I don't know people who have like peaceful bedtime, no matter how old their kids get. It's wild in there.
It's wild.
And that coming together and the way that the Lord just meets us through His truth, it is so encouraging. And you know what? When I feel dry as a bone at the most tired part of the day, I just soak that up like a sponge. And the Lord really, really helps me in His kindness to do that. Paul Tripp just came out with a new Morning Mercies for teenagers. So, I mean, what a wonderful time that we live in where we have these resources that
That's
encourage
right.
us. I think, honestly, considering our health, like, am I stewarding my body? Am I getting enough sleep? Am I drinking enough water? Am I eating nourishing food? Am I eating enough chocolate? Like, these things,
Amen.
like, what, you know, I'm not saying that you need to eat like 7 pounds of chocolate. I'm saying you need to, have your one or two little, those little dark chocolate peanut butter cups from Trader Joe's.
Oh,
Just a, it's
yes.
just a special, special little moment for me. But
Special gift from the
truly
Lord.
that stewardship, you know,
Yeah.
just am I stewarding my body? Because it's really hard to think about anything else when your body doesn't feel good. I have an autoimmune disease that I have to steward. I have to take care of my body, or I'm not going to feel good. And nothing, I mean, that is just, nothing is worth that. So, but I would say, like, be curious and not judgmental. You know, try to, instead of labeling, like, oh, this is good and this is not good, this is bad and this is good, like, instead of assigning a moral value to each and everything that you do, maybe try to be curious. Ask, why do I want to do that? What could come from that? What will I remember in 10 years about that? Just curious. I think it also really helps to be honest about your season and have fair expectations of yourself. If expectations are the road to bitterness, I have been so bitter at myself. And a lot of that comes from expecting myself to be able to give someone a mountaintop and even giving myself a mountaintop experience when I'm completely depleted. That's just silly. Who would I ever ask to do that from a place of depletion? Why am I expecting that of myself? Does that make sense? Just not, it's not realistic. Another thing that I think helps a lot is just looking back and remembering God's faithfulness. I think we have our whole life to look back on. Looking back on his faithfulness, remembering those seasons that were tough or dry or empty, those seasons that brought a little bit of death. I guarantee you, when you look back on that season that felt like death, now you can see that the Lord brought some life out of it because nothing is wasted. He cares for us. He protects us. He is the one, the 23rd Psalm. He is pursuing us with goodness and mercy all of our days for his name's sake. He's not going to forsake his own name. He's going to continue to pursue us with goodness and mercy in every season. In Psalm 51, ask him to restore the joy of your salvation to you, to renew your spirit. Do we really think that God has been so faithful to everyone else and he's not going to be faithful to me? Do I really think that this season of dryness is so disappointing to him that he's going to move away from me forever? No, that's not how God is. God shows up. God is always worthy of our praise and our worship and our belief and our thanksgiving. So we worship him. I love a good worship playlist or some hymns. That will really lift my gaze. It helps me to get outside and to just breathe and maybe like do a breath prayer or to practice taking a moment of gratitude. All of these things really help. There's also things that don't help, like social media. If I'm in a season of dryness, I can feel myself like craving that dopamine and wanting, oh, this is boring. I need to get on Instagram. Like sometimes my phone will hit that icon without even, is that what it's still called, an icon? Sorry, your girl's in her 40s, y'all. But like,
Right behind
you
you.
know, who benefits from me being distracted on social media and feeding from a well that is dry as a bone? I can think of one slithery, big fat jerk
No,
that
that's
I will say, like, lean into community as much as you can in those seasons. You know, spend time, go for coffee, put yourself out there, invite Shanna out to coffee. She'll meet you. You can eat bagels together and just enjoy talking about things that bring you life. And it really does help. You know, you don't have to get through your whole life from this season of dryness. You have to get through this moment, this day. And what the Lord has given you is sufficient for the moment. There is strength for today. There is bright hope for tomorrow. All of those blessings are
That's right.
ours because of the love that God has for his children. If you are in Christ, if you are his child, he loves you with a love that is everlasting, that removes all of your sins. He loves you with a love that you will never be able to fully fathom. That is good news. The love of God is the sweetest because he didn't have to love us to save us, but he did it. And
That's
he
right.
does. God loves you, and there is nothing that you can go through that he cannot use for your good and to draw you closer to himself and to glorify himself through you. Your life glorifies God. God is
That's
the
right.
best.
That's out. It is. I love you so much because you are like your delight in God is just like radiating off of you, which is why I was like, I wanted you on here so bad. There is, I think of one of the, when we were kind of talking about doing this episode, one of the things that kind of came to mind was Psalms 1. And it's this like idea of the, you have this tree planted by streams of water, right? And it's this metaphor for like a flourishing Christian. And it says it yields fruit in its season.
That's
And
right.
so I think that, our spiritual lives are not always going to be in seasons where fruit is abundant or apparent to us, right? We're not always going to feel these big changes happening, these mountaintop experiences. But if our roots are grounded in the right place, as long as we are abiding in Christ, there will be growth. Even if we can't see it or feel that it's going to be there. One thing I really want to do, just because I'm abiding right now, is just so heavy on my heart. I want to do an episode soon about it. But the definition of abiding is like to dwell, to remain, to be held and kept. And so, like, even in these spiritually barren seasons, we can trust that He is still going to nourish our souls if our roots are in Him. And so it's this idea that we can still abide, we can be held, and we can be kept, knowing that He's still going to build us up on the inside and continue to draw us to Himself.
Yeah. So we wanted to kind of land this episode and end it with a prayer that Paul prayed for the church in Ephesus. And it's very beautiful and so applicable to us today. So this comes from Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. It says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen."
Amen. Amen. Yes.
That's so good. I think we all experience these seasons of drought, but we need to remember that that's not an indicator of a lack of faith, but an invitation to run to God even more. And to see that season that you're in, that He's going to work it for your good and for His glory. And it's going to produce a deeper thirst for him and beautiful fruit. Kelly, I love you. And you are a gift to the church. And thank you for literally all the wisdom that you have shared with us, but also just on a very personal level, just thank you for just being someone that I can count on. Like this wiser sister who I can just call, and I know that you're going to point me to where I need to go. So I love you. I want to thank
Thank
you.
you.
We are going to put the resources that Kelly mentioned in here, and we're going to put ways to contact her. So if you want to contact her about dropping some knowledge to some women in your church,
Yep.
we will put that all in the show notes. Thanks,
Oh,
Kelly.
thanks for having me. I
You're
loved
welcome.
it.
Thank you for listening to the Grow in Grace podcast. You can find us at growingracepodcast.com for links to all of our social medias, resources we suggest, and to listen to previous episodes. We hope you can join us next time as we strive together to grow in grace.